Welcome to Hype episode 37. Happy Halloween Eve. I am in the spirit. I have my Woody hat on, but I was not going to dress up any further because it's 6:30 in the morning, so it's a little too much. But we have other hat wearers on the show today, including Kyle, Selena, and I think Marima? I don't know. The lighting's a little difficult to make out.
No, it's just your head. No. Oh, yeah. Oh.
They're just headphones. I feel bad. I don't...
Headphones.
Do you celebrate Halloween in Australia? No, it's okay.
We don't have Halloween, so, I mean... Yeah.
Well, when you're here in a couple weeks, you can wear my hat on the show. This hat.
Can we do a redo? We do a Halloween redo?
Another...
No. I would definitely wear that hat on the show.
No,
I would
it'll
love
be,
to.
By the time you're here, which is mid-November, you should wear a Christmas hat because everybody will be in the Christmas mood.
Okay. Can do. Yeah.
So, actually, well, speaking of Halloween, I thought maybe we should... Is anybody dressing up since Halloween is all about pop culture?
Yes.
You are? Who are you going to be?
It's a not well-known character. It's Baljeet from Phineas and Ferb. He's this little Indian kid on the show, and I look exactly like him when I have my overalls on. So it's
that's perfect. Amazing.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that character ever in my life.
And Selena,
you will see him and you will recognize him and you'll be like, oh, yep, that's Kyle.
Well, okay. It's better to dress up like, you know, less known characters, because then you know who the fans are. You don't all want to be Elsa.
Yes, exactly.
True.
That's true. Yeah,
Selena, no. Are you dressing up? Do you celebrate Halloween over there?
We don't celebrate. I was just telling you guys that we don't do anything. I could just dress up by myself.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you work with Americans every day, so you're basically one of us. That's how it works, right?
Exactly.
So anyway, there's plenty of news to talk about today, including, of course, Marvel. There were a slew of Marvel movies that were announced earlier this week.
I was yawning.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Josh. Well, time. Josh was going to be on the show today, but he got sick overnight, so no Josh on the show. But I will.
Sick of Marvel.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Sure. He could be, actually. He's putting together a big new feature, and maybe that ruined him.
Maybe.
But before we get to that, we have a lot to talk about today. And Marima's going to be announcing a new podcast at the end of the show. How's that for a tease?
Stay tuned.
And I also want to say, if you have any questions throughout the episode, feel free to use the little Q&A button on the event page. You have to go over to Google, click the Q&A button on the window, and ask us a question or leave a comment at any point during the show, and we will read them. So, let's talk about Mockingjay. The first trailer was released... the final trailer was released yesterday, October 29th. It's only a minute long, which surprised me a little bit, because only about one, maybe two... of these trailers were actually 2 minutes long. I don't think we ever got a like 2.5 minute trailer for Mockingjay.
I'm all for it. I think that's good.
Yeah,
I guess. They can't have a lot left to show. Most of it is waiting around.
Maybe they don't have anything to show.
Maybe that's the movie.
Maybe that's why the trailers are so short. Anyway, I do think this final trailer was really good. They released it to celebrate the end of... Or the start, I have everything backwards this morning. The start of ticket sales. You can now purchase your tickets for Mockingjay so you can get the best seat possible. Anyway, the highlights in this trailer were Katniss with her message to President Snow. If we burn, you burn with us. It was really good.
Very well done.
And then, of course, PETA's message to the cap to Katniss. She was saying, "They're coming." He was saying, "They're coming, Katniss. They're going to kill everyone. You'll be dead by morning." As people are trying to pull him away. So, it was a good trailer.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Anything else to say about it? I mean, I thought those were the two highlights.
No.
Everything else was kind of.
I still don't know where they're splitting the book. That's exciting.
That is still a mystery. And I think they're doing that on purpose. I don't think we're going to find out until the movie actually comes out.
Ends.
No. That's why it's so good.
But but since PETA is appearing in it, what we see him battered in a hospital that looks like District 13, We saw that in one of the clips. So presumably it is going to at least reach that point. That was one.
Right. I think one of the main theories right now is like right when he attacks Katniss would be when they split it.
Yes. Christina, so, like, one of our hypeable writers, she classified that as too obvious. The too obvious split when PETA arrives in District 13 and tries to kill Katniss. I agree that would be a cool ending point, but maybe it is a little too obvious. I feel like in an interview they
said...
But
it's a good way to split it, especially because they're going to focus so much on PETA and Katniss's relationship, you know, in the movie with all the video footage and her trying to rescue him and all of that. So if we see clips of him throughout, it's sort of leading up to him coming back, and then he's not who she thinks he is. And
I think it makes sense narratively to do it there, but yeah, like you said, it is kind of the most obvious point. So who knows?
The Katniss's line though gave me chills. The "If we burn, you burn with us."
Oh yeah,
it was really good. Oscar worthy, folks. Oscar worthy.
Calling it now.
So, yeah, tickets are now on sale. We actually haven't reported this on Hypeable yet, but talking about the soundtrack, the track list did come out, but there's still one mystery track, track number 5. Apparently, Ariana Grande confirmed the other day that it is her song. She did this.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I wish it was a mystery. I would have been.
They were doing so well.
Well, and then... I mean, I get it. That you got to have one big name artist on there with the top 46.
Lord,
really big name though.
She's huge over here right now.
Is she? I have no idea who she is.
So Ariana Grande was featured on the Divergent soundtrack with Zedd for I forget the name of the song, but they worked together on a song. So I was kind of surprised that Ariana Grande is participating in another YA soundtrack. But who
is it really various artists? Is it just going to be her?
What do you mean?
Are you talking about track 5?
Yeah, track 5. Just track 5.
Yeah.
Apparently, Lorde is involved in this song too, which is hilarious because she's already on like 5 songs on the Mockingjay soundtrack.
I want her to be on every song. That'd be great.
So the Mockingjay soundtrack so far, of course, we heard Yellow Flicker Beat by Lorde. We also heard This Is Not a Game. This is by the Chemical Brothers, also featuring Miguel. And Lorde is on the song. I love it. Every, like, 30 seconds, she just goes, "There it is."
Yeah.
"There it is." And I love it. It's a really good song. Some people hate it. Some of our readers just hate it.
Lots of people really hate it.
Okay. There is a Kanye West rework of Yellow Flicker Beat. But it's weird. Like, there's some reports saying that this is Kanye's, and then there's others saying it's Lorde's. But Lorde already did Yellow Flicker Beat, so we don't know what's up with that yet.
Keep Kanye away from it, please.
Charlie XCX, she did a song. She's probably, like, one of the most well-known people on here, called Kingdom.
I have no idea who that is.
Churches?
Yeah, guys, honestly, I don't know many of the artists on here. As I wrote in this article, I said I never claimed to be a music critic. But, I mean, just looking at the comments, a lot of people are excited that Stromae is on it.
Stromae.
Tovlo is on it. Tovlo is on it.
Tovlo. Oh.
Leave it to Lorde to make us totally bomb this soundtrack segment.
XOV? Zov? I don't know.
XOV.
Let's just spend this whole show trying to pronounce these artists' names. Rory, Tinashe, Bats for Lashes. That one's easy.
Do you seriously not know who any of these artists are?
No.
This is hilarious.
Do you?
Tinashe.
I mean, listen to this song. So this is the Stromae song. Meltdown, featuring Lorde, Pusha T, Q-Tip, and Haim. A lot of people know Haim.
You don't even know them?
I know Haim.
There's a band called Q-Tip? Are you serious?
I'm starting a band called Band-Aid. I'm going to be on the Part 2 soundtrack. So
I think I could be a winner.
I think I've heard that one before.
Lorde did set these
songs. I want to start a band called Bra and then feature a song with Pusha.
There it is. So this is the Mockingjay soundtrack. Lore did set the expectations. She said that many of us were that these artists were going to be people who we haven't heard from in a while, and she's right. I haven't heard from them in a while. Ever. By a while, I mean ever. Yeah. I was hoping for NSYNC, Backstreet Boys.
Leave that for the final.
Spice Girls, maybe.
Spice Girls.
Oh, imagine how good that would be.
I know.
Maybe that's
just
part
boy
two.
Boy bands all throughout the final Mockingjay.
Yeah. And girl bands.
Lows. Yeah, and yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe. It would make so many things so much less sad.
Maybe that'll be the Legion Part 1 soundtrack. Fingers crossed. So, should I save this Agent Carter? Yeah, let's save this. There was a teaser for Agent Carter. Let's talk Insurgent, since I just mentioned Divergent. Unfortunately, Summit and Lionsgate decided to release the Insurgent posters on the same day that Marvel announced all their things, so these kind of got brushed under the rug. But the first Insurgent promo material is finally here. We have 8 character posters. They were 3D. To celebrate the announcement that Insurgent is going to hit theaters in 3D.
Yay,
I guess. I don't know, guys.
Everyone hates 3D.
I do not like 3D. It's got nothing personal against Divergent, but just any film in 3D.
Nobody likes 3D. Yeah. It's just a way to get ticket sales up.
Especially if it's not shot in 3D. I don't think this was shot in 3D.
Shot in 3D are still bad. Like,
yeah.
3D is worth it. And they make these really long, complicated shots just to get the 3D and you lose the plot.
Right. Yeah. Like, they throw a knife at the screen just to make it come at the audience. Yeah.
Like, whoa.
But the big news out of these character posters were 2 items. For one, we see Triss with her short hair. This is significantly shorter compared to Divergent. I mean, her hair was long. And then we know in the Insurgent book, she does get a haircut, but not this short.
I love in the comments, someone is like, Triss, your Hazel is showing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, you know, Shailene Woodley said she didn't want to wear a wig. And, you know, okay, that's fine. I like her hair. I think it looks great.
I mean,
Insurgent.
Yeah, it looks good. Does it matter?
Yes.
Impact on the narrative in some way?
Yes, Maramaya Matt. I know. I actually felt like... Yeah. I felt a little
dirty. I like your headline.
Yeah, exactly. I felt dirty writing that headline. But it's what I think people are interested, so that's why I did.
Yeah.
So we see, of course, 4. He looks just like he did in Divergent. He has longer hair for this movie.
Oh, my God.
All the stress got to him.
This is crazy.
He looks excellent.
Caleb
looks like Bond. Like, it looks weird.
Yeah, I don't really get his poster.
I don't get it either.
It's because he's, like, not action-y, so he just looks boring.
But I thought the other big news was that we see Uriah. And that's big because he was cut from Divergent. So I thought it was interesting that they actually gave him his own character poster. I thought that was smart for fans so they can get excited to see him this early. So,
yeah.
So those are the posters. And hopefully we'll get a teaser trailer now soon. But now the promo is underway. And I'm excited. New director. New sets. New hairstyle. Did you guys hear there's a new hairstyle? So.
Oh my God, what? New hairstyle? Why has no one been talking about this?
It's a bad sign when the biggest news is that she has a new haircut.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, that's just... always what people get worried about, though.
I don't think it's the biggest news. It's just what I think people are interested in. What can you say about character posters? They're the most boring things.
Yeah.
Like, why did character posters even begin? That's why? So why are they... Yeah, I mean, with Mockingjay, we've seen so many posters, so many character posters for... No
but
reason.
They're cool, though. The Mockingjay ones are
they
badass.
They say something about the plot.
And they have Natalie Dormer in them, so I am pro Mockingjay posters.
I stand corrected. Selena, great point. They say something about the plot. I wanted to talk about Dan Radcliffe's Reddit AMA. I just wanted to mention it briefly. It was a really good AMA for fans. First of all, he addressed the Dan Boringcliffe meme. He said his friends have sent it to him multiple times over the years, and he loves it. and he thanks the person who created the meme. But my favorite moment was that was when somebody asked him, did you put your name into the Goblet of Fire? Referencing the joke that they screwed up the adaptation. For anybody who doesn't know, in the book, Dumbledore says it calmly. J.K. Rowling specifically wrote calmly. But of course, in the movie, Dumbledore freaks out. So Dan Radcliffe's response is, you know what? I don't think we did, I'm pretty sure. Because I think that by that point, they had figured out my handwriting was so bad that they would never let it be seen in the film. So I'm pretty sure one of the props guys wrote Harry Potter neatly on a piece of paper for me to put in.
He completely missed the goblet.
This was my favorite gift
to ever exist on the internet.
Yeah.
So great.
I'm surprised like nobody sitting next to like just nobody around him in the room was aware of what was happening with that.
Yeah. But to be fair, I mean, he can't remember every single detail of every single movie, but yeah.
I completely
really funny.
I totally
that
agree.
There were these other quotes that are not in here, but when he was saying like how he like continuously gets confused with Elijah Wood, and someone asked him like what was the best thing about filming in New Zealand, like, and he got asked all these questions. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah. See, he caught on there. He wasn't like, you know, actually I don't really remember, but I think it was pretty
good. Like so he got that joke at least.
I'm just surprised he would even bother to answer a question as random as did you put your name into the Goblet of Fire. maybe he's playing all of us. Maybe he knows.
Maybe. Did you guys see him rapping on Zom Fallon?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
What was that called? The alphabet?
I don't know. That was alphabet very impressive.
By Blackalicious. Yeah, he's a great rapper.
Yeah. I like how he did it in an American accent, because when I learn like white girl raps and songs, I learn them in an American accent too. So I was like, we are so similar, me and Dan rap. We could be BFFs.
There you go. A little other random movie news. We're getting close to Marvel. You guys just wait. Christian Bale is going to play Steve Jobs in the Aaron Sorkin penned biopic.
What is he like? The sixth actor to play Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that last Steve Jobs movie with
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher. Thank you.
It was so bad.
I didn't watch
it. Has that come out already?
It was, it was out and done in like several months ago, and it was so bad.
But so this one, like I said, written by Aaron Sorkin, directed by Danny Boyle. Steve Jobs is going to be on screen the entire time. It's going to focus around three major Apple events. At least this was what Aaron Sorkin said as of 2 years ago. The introduction of the Mac, the introduction of the iPod, and maybe the iPhone? I'm not sure what the third one was, but it's going to be interesting, I think. So I'm excited to see this, and I think Christian Bale can pull it off.
First one is the Mac, the second is Next, the computer that they made after that, and then the third one's the iPod.
Okay, thank you. I think they should have done the iPhone instead of Next.
Yeah, me
Nobody
too.
Nobody knows Next. Who cares about Next? Some operating system.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Some operating system.
It was a huge deal on the operating system, like...
Yeah, for you two Apple nerds, not for like normal human beings.
I mean, I don't even care about Next. So
Oh my god.
Little Hobbit news. Hobbit is very close. Oh, somebody just submitted a question. Will they make a Tim Cook biopic as a sequel? That's the current Apple CEO. He's in the news today because he just came out. He's gay. But everybody
Wait,
knew that.
Came out?
Tim Cook.
There's the movie right there.
Tim Cook came out in a whole big letter today.
There's the plot.
That's the plot, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there's going to be a deleted scene in the Steve Jobs movie where Tim Cook comes out to Steve Jobs, and he's like, whatever, man. That's cool. All right, so moving on to some Hobbit news. It was announced that the Lord of the Rings actor Billy Boyd is going to be singing the Hobbit finale's song and credits.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's a great idea because he, as readers pointed out to me after I wrote this, he sang Edge of Night for Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
He did.
And it was beautiful. Really
yeah.
And so this is a beautiful, like, full circle moment, right, Middle Earth fans? Because, like, the series...
I'm going to cry so much.
You think so?
Not even, like, I'm already kind of crying.
Aww.
Just thinking about it. Because it's like... It just occurred to me the other day that, I mean, whatever we think about the title and whatever we think about the Hobbit movies in general, this is the last one, like, unless he does the Silmarillion, but he's not gonna. It's gonna be the last one.
Are you sure?
So sad. And it's gonna be really hard to watch for a lot of reasons if you read the books. And then aww. Philip Boyd is gonna sing, and it's you're gonna be in the cinema, and that's so sad.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think Warner Brothers is going to really encourage him to do that. What is it? The Silmarillion?
The Silmarillion, but the thing is, it's just going to this. I mean, that's going to be like a Fantastic Beasts kind of movie because it's all individual tiny stories, you know. And I don't think he's gonna. I think he's big enough now that he can say, "I'm done."
Also, the Silmarillion, like for people who are not familiar, it's set in the same world, but it's like. Very disconnected to the Lord of the Rings. Yeah, it's not about like hobbits or anything like that. It's kind of like the origin story. Mm. So if the reason that he's doing The Hobbit is because he really likes filming things in this world, and I totally get that, but the Silmarillion isn't as connected, so I don't think he would do it for that reason.
No. They would make like short stories. They would take like The Children of Húrin or something and make that into his story. But
I mean, maybe if he's bored.
Maybe he'd produce it.
I could see him, like, eventually doing it, but I don't think there would be any plans for the near future.
Well, the reason I say that is because Warner Brothers is really looking for some big franchises right now. That's why they're doing Fantastic Beasts.
And, you know, it is a worth thinking, you know, because we're going to touch on Marvel as well and the amount of crazy movies they're going to put within this superhero universe. And I guess it is a universe that has a lot of untapped potential. You know, there's a lot of little stories you could expand if you really wanted to, but that's a whole other sort of, it would be like the Middle Earth universe, and it would be a totally different thing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's so cool. That's what they should do, like those fan fiction movies about, like they're doing the Twilight.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Definitely.
I'm happy again.
What if that is what The Hobbit becomes? Or the Middle Earth world becomes? Yeah.
Wow, I would like that.
A web series.
Sure.
So let's get through this Marvel stuff.
Expensive web series I've made.
It's been a big week for Marvel fans. It all started last week with the Age of Ultron trailer. There are no strings on me. The trailer has been viewed by over 70 million people. Which is just absolutely incredible. I mean, this sequel coming out in May is just going to be the biggest movie of all time, I think. What did you guys think of the Age of Ultron trailer? Impressed? Underwhelmed?
I was both impressed and underwhelmed.
Yeah?
Impressed in the terms that it looked really, really impressive and like it looked epic. But underwhelmed in that, like, I'm not a comic book reader, so I have no idea what the hell is going on. I was like...
Yeah, me too. I don't know who this guy is.
I don't know who Ultron is. Like, I have gotten bits and pieces that, like, some of this is, like, Iron Man's fault. Because, like, when the Iron Man machine
came out... He looks like a huge, blown-up Iron Man.
Yeah, and I'm like, So, like, as a non-comic book reader, I found myself a little confused and underwhelmed that they didn't explain it well enough in the trailer for me to be like, yes! Like, it looks pretty, and it looks awesome, and it looks like it's going to be a good movie. It was a good trailer, but I don't know enough.
A trailer is really, I don't think, to explain the intricacies of, you know, things like the Hulkbuster. That's that giant Iron Man costume that you were seeing, the suit.
Oh.
These trailers are geared towards the hardcore fans, and that's why they do so well, because they're just getting to the general story of Age of Ultron, which is that Ultron is going to be effing S up in this film.
Good one,
Mirama. I mean, you're a pretty big Marvel fan. Were you?
Yeah, but I don't think this was... Well, tell me if I'm wrong, but I didn't feel like there was too much in this that was new footage from what we saw when we were at Comic-Con.
No, but like, Mirama, remember, not everybody was at Comic-Con.
I know, so, like, it was exciting to see it again.
For those of us who saw it in July, it was...
Yeah, I was just like, it was so like 4 months ago, so I was not impressed.
Get with the times, people.
Yeah, Marvel. Yeah.
Come on.
No, you're right. It was very similar.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. Like, I don't even like diehard comic book fans. The Ultron story they've basically changed it. They just kept his name, and then they were like, okay, so everything else is different. Mm-hmm. So even like really big comic book fans wouldn't necessarily know exactly what's going on in all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. We did see Andy Serkis. In his real self, but it's not clear who exactly he will actually be playing.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's suggestions that he may be related to the Black Panther storyline in some way. We see Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, and then of course Ultron himself singing a Pinocchio song, which was pretty brilliant.
It was so weird.
Nobody really noticed that at Comic-Con, that it was a Pinocchio song, I don't think. I certainly didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I think everybody was just overwhelmed.
I knew that, but I'm...
You weren't at Comic-Con.
What are you talking about?
Oh, at Comic-Con? I thought you meant the trailer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. It was when everybody watched the trailer at home that they realized that.
Yeah.
What was going on.
See, so, I can't... The guy voicing Ultron, I can't take seriously because he was in Boston Legal, and that's all I imagine is like the lawyer from Boston Legal.
He's so great, though. I love him.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
What else to say about this? Anything?
They released the clip as well, picking up the hammer. Yes. That was the other Comic-Con thing.
Yeah, so at Comic-Con, right, it did debut before the trailer portion of it, but this scene was... they're all hanging around in Tony Stark's house trying to pick up Thor's hammer. It's a really fun, very Avengers moment. It's things like that that I think really makes this franchise work so well. So
yeah, that's the only... No, that's not the only thing. I didn't say that. But that's one of the big parts why I really, really love the movies. You get that interplay between them, and that's what I think sets like things like the Avengers and Guardians apart from those like individual superhero movies.
The chemistry. It's all about the chemistry.
Yeah.
Michael submitted a question. Hi, Five from Poland. Marvel announcement was great, but I wonder when their streak of successes runs out. I'm so afraid about Ant-Man. What's Marvel's weakest link, in your opinion? I mean, it's hard to say this early on. Anybody think there's a weakest link? I mean, Ant-Man has suffered through a lot of troubles, and so has Doctor Strange. I mean, that's been a project that's been in the works at Marvel for a long time. So,
fill me in if I'm wrong about this, but like the current like Marvel movies, they've taken their time to like develop like each one of them. They've been in. I feel like they've each been in production for at least a year and a half or so, right?
Pre-production before they start filming.
Yeah,
I mean they go through a lot of script rewrites to make sure that they have the story.
And so I guess my concern would be like with this announcement, like having all of these movies lined up so quickly after one another would be like quality wise. Like obviously Marvel's built to make them really really well, but like that's one of my things. I'm wondering if they are gonna have to like start forfeiting quality for a little bit of these. No, but I don't know. I don't know anything about Marvel, so I wish Josh was here.
I think at this point they know what works for them, and they're going to they're going to stick with a particular formula. But this Phase 3, and let's go through Phase 3, jumping around in the dock a little bit, is ballsy. I mean, they're introducing a slew of new franchises that have not been... introduced before, and I think what gave them the confidence to do this was the success of Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, that was so off the wall for them to do, and it was a risk, and they pulled it off. I mean, the chemistry was fantastic in that series. So we have Captain America Civil War in May 2016, Doctor Strange in November 2016, Guardians 2 in May 2017, Thor 3 Ragnarok in July 2017, Black Panther in November 2017, Captain Marvel, the first female superhero lead movie, hooray, July 2018, Inhumans November 2018, Avengers. Now, this was the kicker. So we knew there would be a third Avengers movie, but Avengers Infinity War Part 1, May 2018, Part 2, May 2019. And that is going to be the culmination of everything that has happened beginning in Phase 1.
Remember that time when movies were like all-night movies and they had breaks where you could go get snacks?
What? Like back in the 50s or something?
No.
How old are you?
Actually, no. For the Lord of the Rings, they released them and they had a break in the middle. Didn't you guys have that?
Like when they were marathoning them?
No.
In the cinema? Oh, you missed out. It was so much fun.
They just stopped?
They didn't break it up into Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Part 1. That's what I was going for.
Oh. They stopped the movie to let you go and eat?
It was an all-night movie. Those were the best.
What? What? How long did that movie go for in Denmark?
It was a really long movie. It was like 3 hours. They couldn't expect you to not need the bathroom for that long.
You have and a strange country.
No, they're just smart. They'll like double as much candy.
So anyway, I was at this event Marvel did. It was basically like a very Apple-esque event where they announced all of these dates at once. It was there was 1,000 fans in there in addition to media. It was nuts. It was like a mini Comic-Con. It was absolutely fantastic. And Kevin Feige, the Marvel head, he just is a wonderful presenter. He's and he's a fan, and he just gets it. And he's really responsible for the success that Marvel has had in recent years. Merrimack, let's mention Captain Marvel. I mean, this was big news. But it's not going to be the first female superhero movie. Of course, DC is going to beat them with Wonder Woman. But how significant is Captain Marvel?
Super significant, but I think most people would agree that it's most likely a response to DC saying they're definitely going ahead with Wonder Woman, because Marvel was starting to look very poor in comparison when they're so far into their run of films and it's so male and white. So, like, it's a pretty strategic move that they've announced Captain Marvel and Black Panther for Phase 3, which have both been rumored, but, you know, talked down a lot. So I think, a lot of people were hoping for a Black Widow film, but it was probably always more likely that it was going to be Captain Marvel, because she has a fuller story to draw from, and she's connected to the Avengers, like, more so than Black Widow in ways. So it's really exciting, but only 4 short years away. So super close.
Kevin was asked why not a Black Widow movie first, and he said they wanted to introduce a new character for their first female-led movie. And I guess that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Because why just stick with Black Widow?
Yeah,
no?
I don't think that's
interesting. Black Widow.
Well, Black Widow is connected to the Winter Soldier. In the comic books, Black Widow's storyline is connected to the Winter Soldier, so I think people were hoping after that film came out that that was a sign that her story was going to be more fully developed, but obviously not, which is sad, but hey, at least we're getting one. That's better than none.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, Phase 4, I imagine, will have
all ladies.
Right. Well, at least two, I was going to say. Captain Marvel 2, and then Black Widow Origins.
All ladies and a gay man. Yes.
Yeah. First gay superhero. We've had a bunch of questions here. By the way, Revolutionary said, I saw Return of the King with an intermission. So you're not allowed
to. Yeah, so done.
In what country? In what country, though?
I don't know.
Probably Britain. They do it, too.
That's weird crazy.
Hey. Let's not compare.
What else do we want to talk about in this whole group of things? I think it's awesome that they're splitting the Avengers finale into two parts. It's just going to be an epic, epic finale, I think. And it's not going to be one of these situations like you have with Harry Potter and the Hunger Games, and even Twilight, where like part one is like set up, because they'll be able to make both action-packed because it's two separate storylines, and they're not going off of a book or anything. So
yeah, it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be nice for once to see a part two kind of like film series not based off a book.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, it is. They are based off books, guys.
Well, they are, but loosely.
Yes, but like
very
like,
loosely.
But so loosely, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course.
Inhumans is also significant because, as Kevin pointed out at the event, they're really introducing a whole new world of characters. I mean, and you can see a lot of these guys going into Phase 4 and beyond. But it is, like I said, it is risky because these are a lot of new characters that nobody knows about. I mean, Inhumans, Captain Marvel, I think, is a safe bet. But Inhumans, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, these are whole entirely new worlds. And then Avengers Ending. So it's like, how many times are we saying goodbye to Captain America after Civil War? That film is going to be a big deal. Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans were there.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily Captain America, but possibly Steve Rogers, depending on how that, you know, casting goes, because he's only on for so many films.
Carlos says, not to date myself, I saw Titanic with an intermission too. See, that makes sense. That one's...
There you go.
That's sense. About that's a 7-hour film.
Yeah. Goodness.
So really long.
So out of this whole slate, which of the... Ning asks, which of the upcoming Marvel movies are you guys most looking forward to?
Ooh, on this new slate?
I'm going to say Civil War. I mean, that obviously is the start of Phase 3, but it's just going to change everything for this whole universe. So
I'm going to say it's a tie between Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Thor 3.
Mirama, I know your choice.
Well, obviously Captain Marvel, but I think Civil War for me as well, because I'm not very keen on them doing the Civil War story in the cinematic universe. So the way that they do that, I think, will like inform how I feel about sort of Phase 3 going forward. Because like you said, that's going to change a lot of things, but it can't play out the way that it did in the comics. So they have to change something. So that'll be a good indicator. But also, I think Black Panther is going to be really good.
Selena?
I guess Avengers, just because I feel like I know it's not really a secret, I'm really sick of superheroes, and I'm really sick of origin stories because they're always the same. Mm-hmm. So, and then I'm sure that some of them that are coming up are not the same. I don't know, because I don't know them that well. But I think Avengers is going to be more about exploring established characters and exploring their relationships and stuff, and that sort of stuff interests me more, and it's Joss Whedon, you know.
All right. Well, I don't want to dwell too much on Marvel, because, I mean, there's been way too much news this week from Marvel. But I do want to also add that Benedict Cumberbatch is now rumored to be in deep talks for Doctor Strange. A lot of people expected that to be one of the announcements earlier this week, but no, unfortunately, Benedict was not there. I think Benedict will make a good Doctor Strange. He just looks strange. That's what the movie is about, right? A doctor who looks strange?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's exactly the plot. Exactly the plot.
That's what I thought. No, but it's...
I do not want him.
As long as he keeps his voice as sexy as it is, I'm good.
No, not on board with this.
No?
No. Oh, really?
Is he overused?
Yeah, I think if they cast him, they're casting him because he's Benedict Cumberbatch, not because he's the best person for the role. And Marvel have proven that they can pick up someone who is not necessarily who you would immediately think of. Like, Mark Ruffalo would be a great example, because before he was Hulk, you would be like, oh, this, like, dead girl rom-com guy. Like, what's he doing in a superhero film?
Yeah.
And then he totally killed it. So I would rather that they got the best person. And I do not think Benedict Cumberbatch is that person, as strange and attractive as his voice is.
Maybe he'll turn things around and he'll be awesome.
I meant to ask you earlier, Mirama, who do you think should play Captain Marvel? Any first choices?
Natalie Dormer?
Yes!
Yeah, I know. Everybody's saying that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Jennifer Lawrence could be...
If she can't be female Thor, I'll have her. Thank you.
Jennifer Lawrence would be a good pick, too, I think. She's young.
She's overused as well, isn't she?
She is overused, but she's going to be looking for, I would think she's going to be looking for a big new role after Hunger Games, and this is comfortably after Mockingjay Part 2.
Yes.
She's in X-Men, though, so yeah, there might be some like conflict her. Things.
And other types of roles as well.
Natalie Dormer just needs to be in Marvel, like, period. Like, she just needs to get in there somehow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody said on Twitter other day, we're heading towards a world where every actor in Hollywood is either part of the Warner Brothers universe or the Marvel universe. And it's kind of sad.
Used. That's
right, because once you're in it, you keep appearing.
Hmm.
I mean, just look at the
Avengers. Because they sign you on for like 10 films.
Yeah.
You have no choice.
Which is a big reason why, Benedict Cumberbatch may be looking at this being like, do I really want to commit to this? I mean, he is Sherlock. I don't think this is good news at all for Sherlock. He's busy enough.
No.
And that's one of the reasons that that other guy, Joaquin Phoenix, bailed out of Doctor Strange because he didn't want to commit. That's the reports anyway. He didn't want to commit to a big franchise. I don't blame them. I mean, this is a huge commitment.
Yeah, and Marvel is like notoriously stingy with money as well. So,
What's that other guy they use for everything? Michael Fassbender? Is he in contention?
I haven't heard any rumors.
He's
about
in X-Men too. So
yeah, exactly. But that's why I'm thinking, like, with the same, you know, they all cross over.
Right.
Can Avengers 3 still be great if Joss Whedon doesn't direct? Revolutionary also asked that question.
Sure.
Well, there's rumors that the Russo brothers may direct, and that was asked. They directed the Captain America, both Captain Americas, right?
No, they directed Winter Soldier.
Okay,
and they're directing Civil War.
Oh, right. Okay, so
they didn't direct the first Avenger.
So that would be big if they directed that. I mean, Joss, I seem to remember him saying like he was hesitant towards even joining Avengers, but then he just got a really great idea for the story. So, I mean, does he really want to commit to another two Avengers films? That's huge. Mm. Does anybody?
I hope he doesn't, because I want him to do other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's okay.
That's
so
enough.
Let's talk Marvel TV now, real quick. Agent Carter first television promo came out. It was a short piece, but I guess it got everybody excited, right?
It was okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm excited for the show. I didn't like the promo necessarily.
Isn't it a spinoff of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It's based off Agent Carter, who is the agent that what's his name, Steve Rogers, like fell in love with before he went off and died and froze in the ocean.
Oh,
that's
so
a great description.
Thank you.
It's back in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah.
Little throwback.
Yeah, the promo itself was crap, but I'm excited.
Yeah,
for it.
Yeah. The synopsis was released too. That was more exciting.
Yeah,
the promo was pretty terrible.
It was so bad.
Well,
although, like, some of the footage looks good.
Sometimes footage looked good.
Best man for a job is
woman.
whoever okayed that needs to be fired immediately.
That was so bad.
Yeah.
Let's hope that it's
gonna be good though.
Let's hope Agent Carter does not have the same fate as Manhattan Love Story, a new show on ABC. The first canceled show.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
First canceled show of 2014.
It's taken them so long to cancel anything this year.
It is incredible. Them really short episode orders, like really short episode orders. Like, hey, you have three more episodes. Like, let's see what you can do with it.
Let's see if you can pick up the ratings. And
But it's because nothing is doing well. Almost nothing is doing well.
Yeah. I would say one big standout is How to Get Away with Murder on ABC.
Yeah, that is so good. So amazing.
I love that show.
What else is doing good? New show-wise.
New show-wise.
The Flash?
The Flash?
The Flash is doing well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Flash is doing really well.
I'm trying to think of any others.
No.
Yeah, I just I know, like, I cover Grace Point. That is not doing well. That's the David Tennant show.
That's probably going to get canceled, which is a shame. Well, I cover Selfie and Red Band Society, and neither of them are doing that well. But I'm hoping that they pick up Selfie, because that was the other new sitcom from ABC in the same slot as Manhattan Love Story. So there's still hope for it, but they might cancel it just to free up that
I hope A to Z gets renewed. I like that. It's a creative little concept.
What show?
Really?
A to Z.
Oh, A to Z. Okay.
Yeah.
I think Grace Point, starring David Tennant, may actually stick around, because Fox has built it from the very beginning as a limited event series. It's only 10 episodes. And I think episode 5 is tonight, so they're halfway through.
Yeah, they might as well.
And it's just like, yeah, I mean, they shot it, like... But you know what? This sounds kind of mean of me to say, but I wouldn't mind it being canceled, because that means I don't have to cover it anymore.
Yeah. I know.
Now you just recycle the same reading.
What? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like do a find and replace on those old recaps.
Right. It's the same. It's the same storyline as Broadchurch. But no, it's going to start diverting soon. So, whatever.
I mean, maybe they'll pull Firefly, it'll get canceled, and then put on DVD, and then you'll be set.
Yeah, well, I've got on the Fox screener site through episode 7, so I'm good, I guess. So that's what's going on with TV. There's also some American Horror Story news. Neil Patrick Harris and his husband David Burke are going to be joining the show towards the end in the final
that's
two
gonna
episodes.
Be awesome.
Yeah, that's been long rumored, right, that Neil Patrick Harris would be involved.
My brother is just so excited at the moment, because Neil Patrick Harris is just being announced for everything.
Oh,
and
my God,
brother is, like, in
so...
love with him. And he has that variety really show well. As well. And it's just, like,
he has
so
a
much.
New book out. He got married. I hate him.
The book is so good.
Is it?
I just read that book. It is hysterically funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there will be a review on Hyperbole at some point next week, probably.
Nice.
Good. It's good to have you back, Marima.
Thanks, guys.
Marima
was
gone for all of October. Yeah. And then another American Horror Story news, Lily Rabe, the character from, the actress who played Sister Mary Eunice in American Horror Story Asylum, she's coming back. And this confirms essentially that Asylum and Freak Show are connected in some way. Now, I didn't watch all of Asylum. I'm behind on Freak Show.
Oh, why not?
So, because, I don't know. So what does this mean? What does this mean, Kyle?
Okay, so basically what they're... they also connected Pepper, too. So they're the whole concept is that Lily Rabes comes to the Freak Show... obviously, we don't know what her plotline is, but the theory is that she's going to come to the Freak Show and she's going to discover Pepper. The Freak Show is going to do whatever it does, and then she's going to take Pepper away off to the asylum without her little friend.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But some people are saying that this is weird for Ryan Murphy to do, right?
It's so bizarre, because they've always said, like, oh, this is going to be separate, but we might possibly interchange them. But, like, I don't know. It's odd.
It is.
I don't like it. Because people are now theorizing, like, well, like, if the nun is going to be in the Freak Show, then how come she goes to the asylum and then, like, the twins are there? And then,
Yeah, what they said. I agree. Christmas is upon us, everyone. And I'm excited.
God, can we not? No.
I'm excited because the day after
it's
Halloween.
It's still October.
I know, but the day after Halloween, so... We're 2 days away.
And it's okay to be excited for Christmas.
Everybody's going to put up their Christmas trees. The music is going to start playing. Get ready.
Disneyland's already set. Like, we have our decorations up and going.
Yeah, the snow's on the castle, right?
Yep.
So,
Merriman's mouthing down.
I don't understand.
Yeah, whatever.
We have our entire Christmas.
Is this what I have to look forward to in your country?
Yes, joy. And red
but you're
going
to November, so it's okay.
But you're going to be here in November, and we're going to be all Christmased out. Like we're going to
be
gonna like be
even more Christmas. Annoying because it's not even near Christmas.
We're having a hypeable party at my place while Merima's here. I'm going to make it all Christmas themed just to bother you.
Yes.
Do it.
So we're hearing about Christmas specials. We all loved the movie Elf starring Will Ferrell. Well, now there's going to be an animated spinoff airing on NBC with Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory voicing Buddy. That's the character that Will Ferrell played. And now here's the part I particularly love. It's going to be animated like all those other Christmas classics. It's going to be that stop motion animation like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So it's, I think it's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
I didn't know that part. That makes it cuter.
Yeah. Elf Buddy's Musical Christmas, it's called. It's going to use a couple songs from the Elf musical. And it is, quote, a retelling of Buddy's delightfully absurd yet heartwarming story and blends the look and feel of the stop-motion anime Christmas specials of the past with the sharp sensibility of the modern-day classic holiday film. So I guess they just nailed it with this one, judging by that synopsis. So yeah, that airs, when does that air? December 16th. NBC is, I have to say, NBC has a lot of cool stuff. They got that Peter Pan live musical in December. They got this. We've got a Toy Story holiday special airing on ABC in December. Even though
that's going to be adorable.
It's going to be adorable, even though it's not exactly Christmas related, but whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about some other things coming up as well as some plugs. Marima, we just talked about superheroes to death, and soon we're going to have a new podcast that talks about them more. Is that right?
Talks about them all the time. Oh, my God. If you can't get enough of Marvel and DC and whatever Sony is doing these days, no one knows. We have a new podcast, Unhypeable. It is Hero Hype, which people may remember from a short hiatus it took about 2.5 years ago.
I remember that.
We'll call this Hero Hype 2.0, which will be starting up next week, and you'll find out all about it then, but you can follow them on Twitter now at Hero Hype Podcast on Twitter.
Hero Hype Reborn.
I'm doing it right
Hero
now.
Hero Hype Podcast.
Hero bigger Hype Origins.
What the hell are we going to... Origins. What the hell are we going to talk about on Hype now?
Yeah. Marima, you're stealing all of our material.
Hey, so, it's not me. You can't get mad at me.
So the Hero Hype panel that you've assembled, and I know you don't want to share it yet, is so good. This idea that you had is why I love the idea, because I think it's going to be very different, and I think it's going to be great. So...
yeah, let's talk in really vague statements that no one will understand. That's a great idea.
No, it's just a great idea. I don't even know why you don't want to tell everybody, but
whatever. It's because it's still, you know, in the process of happening.
I see.
Yes, next week will be the first episode. I think the plan is to alternate the episodes with Hype. So,
okay, good.
There would be like crossover with Too Much News because it'll be talked about on one or the other.
Right.
So you'll be able to listen to superhero stuff all the time on Hypeable, and with all of the movies and so many TV shows on air right now, seems like a good time to bring the show back.
I'm glad you're doing it. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to be on it, but Sheriff Woody is. So get ready.
Spoiler alert, it's going to be awesome.
Also, it is Halloween season, as if we didn't bring that up enough today. And we have this special section on the right side of the homepage if you want to catch up on all of the Halloween stuff happening on Hypeable. Just check out that little Halloween at Hypeable section. We have articles like 10 TV villains to keep an eye out for on Halloween. 12 really... If you're looking for a costume still, this article will help you out. 12 really, really super last-minute fun fandom costumes by Ariana.
I love that article. It's so good.
We've got some creeptastic reads for Halloween by Jen. We've got 5 times TV characters dressed up like other TV characters. That was by Selena, right?
Yeah, that title is my best work yet.
No, it's good. It's fine. Louie searched through Netflix to find 25 movies streaming on Netflix that are perfect for Halloween. So we've got you covered, I think. And there's more
a Halloween drinking game still to come.
Actually,
watch
I think
that one.
I think it was just published.
It was published. Yep.
It's
look at that.
It's a The Nightmare Before Christmas drinking game.
And you can print it out, so you don't have to worry about getting stuff on your computer.
Beautiful.
Because we care.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And
oh my goodness, the number 12, that's just cruel. Every time Jack says, "What's this?"
What's this? What's this? Yeah, that's mean.
Drink responsibly.
Yes, please.
We're saying drink water for those under 21. So that's what's going on there. Kyle, what's going on with character combat?
Character combat, yeah. It is this round, just published like about a half hour ago, is Melinda May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Helena from Orphan Black.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good one. These battles are turning out to be, like, if it keeps going the way it is, it's going to be like Game of Thrones versus Game of Thrones if it goes the way it's going.
That's
so
okay.
That should be interesting.
Yeah.
It's not really that surprising. It has a lot of fans, and its female characters are amazing.
Yeah.
That's very true.
The Doctor Who Series 8 finale begins. What is it, a two-part finale? Everybody keeps saying it begins this weekend.
Yeah, shit.
One of our Hypeable readers wrote an article I thought was really good.
Was really good.
10 things we want from the Doctor Who finale, and one thing we don't. That one thing is me recapping it, because I would never know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I definitely want to see that.
Yeah,
I would love that.
And looking at what's coming up in the weeks ahead, first of all, tomorrow, October 31st, Halloween, Pottermore is going to be releasing Order of the Phoenix, finally. And it sounds like they're just going to release the entire book. That's the rumor, anyway. Because... Yeah, they've been teasing Order of the Phoenix related things, and they announced that J.K. Rowling is going to be publishing a new writing on Umbridge. If you read some other sites, it sounds like they're publishing a J.K. Rowling wrote a new Harry Potter story about Umbridge. But no, it's a character profile like she's been writing
clickbait.
For the beginning. Clickbait, exactly. There's been this horrible movement in the media where everybody calls anything that comes out of J.K. Rowling's mouth a new Harry Potter story.
Potter thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating.
New Harry Potter movie, a new Harry Potter story.
Yeah. So we'll be covering that tomorrow morning. I'm hoping that she reveals that Umbridge is a lesbian. It's time for another gay Harry Potter character.
Wasn't she in love with Fudge, though?
Was she?
Wasn't she?
Wasn't that just platonic? She just admired.
Am I reading fan fiction again?
Selena,
I don't know where you got that from.
Selena reads Fudge Umbridge fan fiction.
That's a ship.
Wow. Fumbridge.
Umbridge ship? Fudge.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Fudge.
I like Fumbridge.
I like Fumbridge better.
And on the movie side of things, Big Hero 6 is coming out November 7th, as is Interstellar.
It's going to be amazing. I have a couple of friends who've seen it already because they're hanging out with certain people in the movie in Disneyland, and they say it's going to make you cry. So,
is one of those people Andrew? Because didn't you literally just see it last night?
I saw it last night. Yeah, I am Big Hero 6. I'm the hero. No, it's okay.
Is it good?
It is really good. It will make you cry. I'm a monster. I don't really cry, but it made other people in the theater cry. So yes, it will make you cry.
Yeah, the people who told me it made them cry were, understandable.
I almost cried, but then I was like, I can't cry.
But I have to
then
say,
then you remembered, like, I don't cry in things because I have no soul.
Yeah, I'm a monster.
See, I'm also that person.
In the parks, we have Baymax coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he is adorable because he blinks and he walks like this.
Yeah.
And it's so cute.
Is there an actor inside the costume or is it a robot?
I mean, it's a robot. People hang out with him, but yeah.
Okay. Just like Mickey Mouse is a robot.
Yeah. Well, Mickey Mouse is a mouse.
Right.
Whatever, man.
Okay.
There's going to be some more Halloween goods coming up on Pickable the next day or two. I guess we'll do some sort of coverage looking at celebrity Halloween costumes or our own costumes. I don't know. Anyway.
I think you should write that. Good idea, Andrew.
Okay. Sure.
Yep.
Everybody post their photos on Instagram so I can easily embed them like I did.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, that's what's going on. That's the episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, you can visit Hypeable to keep track of everything that's going on. You can find more about all of these stories. It's been a really busy week on Hypeable. It's hard keeping up on everything. I guess I should also plug one of the new features on the site. now when you start scrolling down, and we're still tinkering with this a little bit, it needs to be worked out a little more. So we'll say it's in beta for now. But when you scroll down to the bottom of the article, it'll load the next article. So it's kind of like Tumblr. You can kind of just keep loading stories, load, load, load. And it's easy. We want to make it work a little better, but we're still figuring out some kinks. So if you want to, if you go on Hypeable a lot, that may be a good way for you to browse our content. Just scroll down, load the next story. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Andrew Sims. I'm Mary White. I'm Selena. I'm Kyle.
I'm Tori Kyle.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
I am hatless.
Are you?
Nobody knows who they are anymore. We got to figure out an order.
Haven't done this on video before.
Yes,
that
we
was
have.
A disaster. No.
Yes, we have.
Maybe when I was not here for the last three times.
Anyway, we will see everybody next time for episode 38 of Hype. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.